The following audio is from the weekly message at Summit Church in the upstate of South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Our desire as a church family, we're going to be in Colossians 1 here in just a minute, I promise. We never, ever, ever just want to offer our thoughts, right? Like, we want to continue to show you and make sure that you understand that everything we say and do is going to be, to the best of our ability, tethered to the Word of God. So we're going to be in Colossians 1 in just a moment. But our desire as a church is to glorify God and actively participate with the Father, Son, and Spirit as we live all of life in view of His kingdom coming to earth. So throughout Mark's gospel, we have seen Jesus continue to invite folks to do that very thing. He showed up, and when he began his ministry, he shows up and he says, hey, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So Jesus shows up, says, the kingdom of God is here with me, and you step into the mission that I'm inaugurating here on this earth to bring the kingdom to bear. And so that forms the heart of who we are. And so this is our mission statement. I hope you've heard this before. If not, you're going to hear it a lot. Summit Church exists to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ without having to come or go anywhere. So that is, as we think about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, right? That is, in essence, discipleship and evangelism wed together. It's not one or the other, it's both and. To be a growing disciple of Jesus is to show great concern for the lost folks who are around us and to be about the task of carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever it is we go, because that's how God designed the church to work. So that's our mission statement. But built on top of that, I'm going to mix metaphors like crazy this morning. I just need to prepare you for that, all right? Are our three core convictions. And these things serve as the foundation of our ministry. These three statements that we believe rise from Scripture help frame the theological, methodological, and philosophical convictions that drive everything that we do as a church. So in essence, it's us saying, well, this is how we believe. And like God designed the church to function in the world to reach every man, woman, and child. So why is it that we do things the way that we do things? These three core convictions are going to help address that. Number one, whatever God is going to do in the world in redeeming people to himself, he desires to do through all of Christ's people, the church. Not just a select few perceived spiritual superstars. So what that means, in essence, is that as far as the kingdom of God is concerned, there is no such thing simply as the professionals who play on the field and the fans who are in the stands. There are different functions and different gifts and different roles that people play in the church, but there is no divide between the professionals and the fans. The genius of God is such that you and I, wherever we go, are the vehicles through whom the gospel goes forward. And that is as true for you, whatever it is you do on a week-to-week basis, as it is for me or Josh or anybody else who might be on staff here. The second core conviction is this. Whatever God is going to do in redeeming in the world, in redeeming people to himself, he desires to do primarily through a decentralized structure. So what that means is that we as a church, the church in general, is not designed by the Lord to function as a monolith that is simply growing and growing and growing and growing and growing big in one place. It was designed to multiply and reproduce. So we would say that if we want to reach every man, woman, and child, well, we got to go laterally. And then thirdly, whatever God is going to do in the world in redeeming people to himself, he desires to do primarily through a leadership that sees equipping others in their giftedness as just as important as using their own giftedness. I love teaching the Bible. It's one of my very favorite things. I love thinking and talking and processing through this stuff. I love sitting down with you and like watching lights come on as you see the beauty of Jesus. But if all I do as a pastor here is give you some interesting information and try really hard to entertain you with the Bible for 40 minutes a week, I'm not fulfilling my responsibility as a shepherd. Because you know what? Sometimes the gospel is proclaimed as the word is preached and it penetrates hearts and folks respond in faith to Jesus. And sometimes it happens around a kitchen table as somebody who has the gift of hospitality welcomes people into their home and warmly shares their life, their stories, their home with them, and they tell them about Jesus. So those are our three core convictions. Whatever God's going to do in the world in redeeming people to himself, he desires to do through all of Christ's people, the church. Whatever God's going to do in the world in redeeming people to himself, he desires to do primarily through a decentralized structure. And number three, whatever God's going to do in the world in redeeming people to himself, he desires to do primarily through a leadership that sees equipping others in their giftedness is just as important as using their own. So when I think about who we are, I've warned you that I'm going to just start mixing metaphors. So just buckle up, all right? If you want to think about who we are as a church, like a person who's planning to through hike the Appalachian Trail, the AT. I say that like somebody who's actually planned this out, and that ain't your boy, all right? I'm not planning to through hike the AT anytime soon. So if we think about it, though, in these terms, I was trying to think of a picture that could help for those of us who are like need the visual to think of it in this way. The mission statement, we exist to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities. It's the goal. Hey, we're going to, like the goal is I'm going to through hike the AT. The core convictions that we just covered are the reasons why we're going to do it the way we're going to do it. So I'm going to through hike the AT. I want to do it with this group of people because I want to cultivate community and a sense of friendship. I want to do it because I want to challenge myself. I want to do it in order to have this once in a lifetime experience. And so that's why I'm doing it with a group of people and we're going this way. And so those convictions serve as the why. Why am I doing things the way that I'm doing things? And then our distinctives serve as the how. How am I going to through hike the AT? Well, I'm going to follow this path that has already been cut, that is marked and has been established to get you from the beginning to the end. And so that trail serves as an image of our distinctives that we believe rise from Scripture and point us in the direction that we intend to go in order to fulfill the mission that we believe God has given to us as a church. I promise there's a reason why we're zooming out so much. Here are our five distinctives. Number one, we are committed to being target-driven. We are committed to saturating, overwhelming our God-given geography, circles of influence, the places where God and his sovereignty has placed us with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that involves us looking around and saying, God didn't put us everywhere. He put us right here in Spartanburg. And so we know where we live and we know the people in the place where we live, and we engage those people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are target driven. Number two, we are committed to gospel motivated spiritual formation. We're going to talk a whole lot more about that here in just a couple of minutes, but we are committed to discipling those who are entrusted to our care in gospel-motivated, measurable values. We want you to grow up to be like Jesus. Thirdly, we're committed to interdependent leadership. We have a unified leadership team that submits to Jesus, that has different leadership functions operating. The church isn't designed to be built on one personality or one person apart from Jesus Christ. So it's why you have different voices up here sharing on a Sunday morning. It's why next Sunday I'm teaching in Simpsonville and Josh is going to be teaching here. We're committed to interdependent leadership. Number four, we're committed to church planting and partnership. If we say we want to be about gospel saturation, then it's imperative that we are committed to starting new churches and partnering with existing churches for the sake of gospel saturation. So we love partnership. We prioritize it. And then finally, we're committed to global intentionality. We want to support indigenous churches and leaders around the world as they proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. When Jesus gave the Great Commission, he didn't just say, go to your specific circle of accountability. He says, hey, eventually we want the gospel to go to the whole world. And we want to participate in that in as much as we can. I know that if you're brand new, you're like, your head might be spinning right now. What are y'all talking about? That's a lot of information. These are things that have always defined the foundation of our ministry, and they still do. And our hope today is to start there by reaffirming those things so that whether you've been with us for 15 minutes or 15 years, you understand who we believe God has called us to be as a church. So in just a minute, we've zoomed out. We're going to zoom in the camera lens on the distinctive of gospel-motivated spiritual formation. And we're going to consider big picture. Well, if this is who God has called us as the church to be, then what role does gospel-motivated spiritual formation play in getting us there? Why does it matter? And in order to answer that question, I want us to look at Colossians chapter 1. So turn with me there, if you would. Colossians chapter 1. Jeff read a part of it this morning that spoke about the glory of Jesus Christ. And we're going to bump down just a few verses, and we're going to read Colossians 1, verses 24 to 29. The Apostle Paul says this. He says, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh, I'm filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. And we're really going to drill down here in 27 to 29. To them, to the saints, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. So the letter to the Colossians was written by Paul to a group of Jews and Gentiles to help them hold on to the fact, to keep sight of the fact, to be committed to the reality that their identity in Jesus Christ is of greater consequence than anything else that might define them. It's more important than their nationality or their ethnicity. It's more important than their families or their histories. Jesus is greater than all of that. And Paul is committed to making sure that the Colossians understand that because they're in Christ, they now must grow up in Christ. Jesus is in you. He has saved you. You belong to him. And now he's going to be about the business of making you more like him. And I want to take just a few minutes and I want us to look specifically at verses 27 through 29 because I think they speak clearly to how we want to think about and talk about spiritual formation here at Summit. In verse 27, Paul says that that God has now made known to the saints, to believers, a specific mystery. What is that mystery? He tells us that it's the fact that Gentiles are now a part of the family of God along with Jews. And at the end of verse 27, he says that the mystery that he's talking about there is the fact that it's Christ in them, which is the hope of glory. The mystery is the fact that Gentiles now have Jesus Christ in them, and he offers them a hope of glory as a part of God's family. They get to experience eternity with Jesus because of Christ's redemptive death and resurrection, which has brought salvation not just to the Jews, but to anyone who would believe. And then in verse 28, the Apostle Paul holds up this really wonderful, elevated, glorious picture of Jesus and says, this is at the very heart of what drives my ministry. And the way that this happens is, Paul says, by warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom. Now let's pause here for just a second. Because we know from elsewhere in the Bible that Paul is deeply concerned with sharing the gospel with unbelievers. The most prolific missionary taking the gospel to people who've never heard about or don't know Jesus, maybe in the history of the church. But here we see that he also is committed to the fact that for those who respond in faith to the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they continue to learn about and grow in Jesus Christ. Paul repeats the word everyone just to make sure we get the picture. He wants everyone to understand what Jesus has taught. He wants everyone to grow in their knowledge of Christ. He wants everyone to look more and more like Jesus. This isn't just something for fellow apostles of Paul or leaders in the churches. This isn't just something for pastors or super Christians or folks who maybe want to teach the Bible or be elders or deacons one day. This isn't just for life group leaders and ministry team leaders. It's for everyone. Spiritual formation, spiritual growth and development in Christ is not, as Paul lets us know here, an optional thing. So the spiritual formation of all believers is this central concern for Paul. Why? He tells us, I want to that we may present everyone mature in Christ. That word mature is an important one. It's a word that often means something that's perfected or completed. I like the translation mature here because it speaks of someone who's being trained or equipped and taught so as to grow up strong and fully developed into the image and likeness of Jesus. The picture here is of someone who breathes their last and steps into eternity and is standing before Jesus. And while nobody is going to be perfect in this life, they have developed a heart and a mind and desires and habits that look like Jesus. So that's what's going on in these few verses here in Colossians 1. Like Paul's kind of pulling back the curtain a little bit and giving us a glimpse into the heartbeat of his ministry. This is what motivates him, not just as he shares the gospel with folks, not just as he's planting churches all along the Mediterranean, but as he disciples people and encourages others to disciple people. But why are we taking the time to talk about this passage this morning? What does this have to do with our understanding of spiritual formation and how it applies to who we are as a church? I think it has everything to do with it. And the first thing that we have to see from what Paul says here in Colossians 1 is that spiritual formation, growing up in Christ, is not optional for Christians. It's not like a nice add-on, right? If you have the time and the capacity to maybe grow up into Christ, it's not the guacamole at Chipotle that you may or may not want to add for an extra $17. It's an expectation. It's a given. That to be a Christian is to be growing in Christ. So what does that mean? Well, that means that in just a bit, when we talk about things like upcoming Bible studies that Josh mentioned already, when we talk about life group, when we talk about ministry teams, when we talk about Sunday worship, when we talk about various ways to connect to life here, to be formed here at Summit, the implied question that Colossians 1 would invite us to ask is, how are you being formed in Christ at Summit? Not if you are being formed in Christ. Not only is Paul saying here that in Colossians 1 that spiritual formation is an expectation for all believers, the second implication of Colossians 1 on our understanding of spiritual formation here at Summit, and this is huge because I think we're really good at getting the first part, like, yes, of course, it's important for me as a Christian to be growing. But it's easy to leave off this second part. It's that you and I have a vital role to play in the formation of others. You and I have a vital role to play in the spiritual formation of others. Note what Paul says in verse 28. He says that it is Christ who proclaims. We proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. You see? Growing up in Christ is a team sport. It's something that God has designed and equipped to the church to participate in together. That means that the church isn't functioning as God intended it to function if we are simply committed, hear me, to being formed ourselves. I want to gather some more information. I want to learn. I want to operate kind of in this discipleship silo whereby my understanding of who Jesus is grows, and that's where it terminates. All of that is incredibly important, but that is only half of what it means to be a growing disciple of Jesus. What we see implied here in Colossians 1 is what Jesus explicitly tells the Gospels, or tells the disciples in Matthew chapter 28 in the Great Commission, where he says, yes, I want you to go and I want you to be my witnesses and I want you to tell people about my love and I want you to tell them that I died for them and that I rose again. But then he says, also, I want you to teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. We said at the beginning of our time together this morning, as we discussed our core convictions, that whatever God is going to do in the world, he's going to do through all of Christ's people, the church. And if we believe that, and I think Colossians 1 is a great place for us to see that, then that has implications on how you and I together think about our role in the spiritual formation of others. Remember, there is no divide between the professionals on the field playing and the fans in the stands as far as the kingdom of God is concerned. So growing up in Christ together as a part of the church does not look like a professor standing up in front of people just downloading information. Teacher-student relationship necessarily. Instead, it looks a lot like building a house. Again, I'm using illustrations that I know next to nothing about. Never thru-hiked the Appalachian Trail. Turns out I've also never built a house. This is glorified imagination on my part. But when you have a team of people building a house, there are different folks who play different roles based on the things that they're experienced in and gifted at. You got plumbers and you got carpenters and electricians and roofers and any number of people who all contribute based on what it is that the Lord has gifted them to do and the skills that they have and the expertise that they bear to the construction of that home. And that's how you and I get to function as we participate together in the growth of our growth in Christ of our brothers and sisters in this place. And lest you think that I am, or that Scripture is somehow talking about everybody but you here, I'm not. It is not. If you are a Christian, if this is, then this is you, whether you've been one for 20 minutes or 20 years. I mean, goodness, have we not seen throughout the Gospel of Mark that Jesus uses people, namely the disciples, who do not have all the answers, who don't understand everything, and who on occasion swing and miss completely in their attempt to follow him. But he continues to invite them to come, to listen to him, to learn from him, to grow so that they in turn might be used by the Lord to love and teach and minister to and care for others. So how do we do this? How do we grow together in Christ in this place? What might your next step be? Hopefully you understand now why you matter, why your role is vital. Not just to fill a space in a pew here on a Sunday morning, but for the spiritual formation of the people around you. I'm going to close our time together by asking, or by sharing some opportunities for you to answer that question, right? How do I do that? How do I step in? And these are opportunities that are present now or are beginning soon. And as we walk through and talk through these things, I want you to consider two things. Number one, how will I participate? And number two, how will I pray? Both are crucial. Both we see in Colossians chapter 1, two P's. How will I participate? How will I pray? And I want to clearly share with you how you can do both. So first, let's talk about, ask and answer how you participate in the mutual spiritual formation of the body of Christ here at Summit Church this fall. Practical next steps. Josh has already mentioned our fall Bible study. coming up. It's starting in a couple of weeks. We're really excited about it. We're going to be teaching through, talking through, studying together through the book of Jonah. A portion of that time when we gather together for that hour and a half on a Wednesday night, the first half is going to be broken into gender-specific small groups of three or four people who talk about, who study, who consider, kick around, ask questions of one another about the text that we're going to be discussing as a large group a little bit later. The goal of that, the reason why we've structured the study that way, is in order to accomplish everything that we've talked about thus far this morning. To participate in the mutual spiritual formation of one another. And that can't necessarily happen in large groups all of the time. Can't take a Bible study and deepen my relationships with everybody that calls this place home, but I can gather together with three or four other people. And over the course of several months, I can get to know them and I can build accountability and we can study God's word together. It's driving what we do. We would invite you to get connected to that. You can sign up down in the info on the info table. You can follow the link on our website. It's not just about teaching you some information. It's about providing a space for all of us to grab hold of one another and say, let's grow in Jesus together. When we talk about life groups, the same biblical impetus for spiritual formation is at play. Life groups are these groups of 10 to 18 to, if you're in the Greer group, like 75 people that gather together to talk about scripture, to do life on life stuff together. Groups that pursue the mission of God for the church together. Believer, tethered to believer, growing together into maturity in Christ. And so I have a vested interest in you growing up into Jesus, because when you do that, you are more effectively able to represent Jesus in the world. And if our mission statement is we exist to give every man, woman, and child the repeated opportunity to see, hear, and respond to the gospel without people coming or going anywhere, then that matters to me. Whether or not you are effectively representing Jesus in your places. And so I'm going to care. And I'm going to be invested in your life. And together, we're going to grow in maturity in Christ. We want to invite you to connect to one of our ministry teams. When I say that, my guess is you've got alarm bells going off in your mind, and it's like, oh, cool. Like, they're just going to ask for volunteers to fill a spot, to do a bunch of church stuff for the church. This is bound to our understanding of spiritual formation and discipleship. If we believe that everyone who is a part of the body of Christ has a part to play in the spiritual formation of others, then hear me, it's not paying lip service to something to say that when you serve in Summit Kids or when you volunteer with student ministry, you are not simply a warm body. You are not simply ticking off a discipleship checklist. You are participating in the spiritual formation of the next generation, which is precisely how the Lord has designed the church to function. When you join our circle team, you help us think about how we as a church engage our circle for the sake of the gospel going forward in our place, which happens as every believer is formed into Christ and carries the gospel message wherever they go. All of this is bound to the Lord's design for the church, that it takes each man, woman, and child, all y'all, all of us, to reach every man, woman, and child. I want to invite you to participate by prioritizing Sunday worship together. The gathering of the saints for corporate worship is a non-negotiable, and it is a vital part of our mutual spiritual formation. when you think about it, when we gather, we come with any number of things running through our minds and any amount of baggage that we might be bringing from our week. And as we step into this place and we sing truth, or we have truth spoken over us, we celebrate the Lord's faithfulness together. There are going to be days when you are enthusiastic, skipping in here, ready to be formed into Christ. And there are going to be days when you may be coming here dragging here because you feel like you know you need it, not because you necessarily want it. But we come because the Lord promises to show up when his people gather. Because we need to be reminded that we are not alone in our journey with Christ, because spiritual formation happens in gathered community. It happens as our worship team leads us by singing songs that are built on truth from God's word. And the reality is, as much as I like to think that you walk away from what I say on a Sunday morning having memorized 82% of it, just, man, repeating my primary points, if you can follow me, the truth is the songs that the band leads us in are far more effective oftentimes of planting seeds of truth in your heart that you get to carry with you throughout the week. You find yourself repeating without even knowing it sometimes to combat the lies of the enemy that you're going to be confronted with over and over and over again. Truth is proclaimed when folks come and read scripture during the service. It happens. Spiritual formation happens when you're welcoming people into this space, making them feel at home so that truth can be proclaimed over them. Sunday worship is a central piece of our spiritual formation together. What I hope we understand is that everything that we do as a church is built on the idea that our spiritual formation, your spiritual formation, my spiritual formation is vital to the church doing what God designed it to do. That your spiritual formation is, your participation is vital to the spiritual formation of others. So the opportunities that we have that Josh mentioned to do things like adopt our college students and welcome them into our homes and into our lives, that is mutual spiritual formation. The Upstate Church Collective, which you're going to be, you've heard some about, you're going to continue to hear more and more about, which is this free, open to anyone discipleship track that Summit participates in with other churches to grow in the character competencies of Jesus. You're going to be watching videos and hearing more about that, but that is mutual spiritual formation. So how can you participate? We've got lots of opportunities that I've mentioned here. Like if you want to learn about this stuff, if you want to learn about ministry teams, if you want to sign up to serve, if you want to sign up for a Bible study or ask questions about that, if you want to sign up for an Adopt-A-Student program or a life group, after the service, head down to our Welcome Center. We're going to have folks down there waiting to answer your questions and to help you get connected to the spiritual formation of the people of God here at Summit Church. But hear me, in all of this, we are not simply seeking to give you a buffet of spiritual stuff so that you can pick and choose what you want to do if you have time. We are intentionally providing opportunities by which we can all participate in the spiritual formation of one another. It's something the Lord requires of us. So how is the Lord inviting you to participate in that, both for the sake of your growth in Christ and for the sake of those people sitting beside you? Both of those are responsibilities that we bear. I want to call the band back up at this time. And as we close, I told you that there were two P's. That this is not just an opportunity and an invitation for you to participate. It's also an invitation from Colossians 1 to pray for the spiritual formation of the people of God. Note what Paul says in verse 29. He says, for this I toil. So growing others up into maturity in Jesus Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. The Apostle Paul, who had seen the risen Christ, who had been used by the Lord to spread the gospel in new places and plant churches and work miracles, he acknowledged that he was dependent on the Lord. It's the Lord's energy that's powerfully at work in Paul as he seeks to have Christ formed in all believers. Surely, it's necessary for us to have that same sense of dependence on the Lord as well. So would you join me in praying this for Summit? Would you spend time in Colossians 1 and ask that the Lord would not only encourage your growth into maturity in Christ, but pray that for the sake of others in this body of believers as well? Would the Lord grant us an ever-growing sense of responsibility and passion to see the gospel proclaimed in our circles, to see Jesus Christ formed in our lives, and to participate in Jesus being formed in the lives of our brothers and sisters who are seated beside us? So I'm going to pray this, and I'm going to ask you moving forward in the days and the weeks to come to commit to praying something like this as well. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, I belong to you. By faith alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Summit Church is my home. Therefore, I will lean in. Take the next step. Rely on the Spirit to do my part, not only in growing in Christ's likeness, but helping my brothers and sisters become wholeheartedly devoted to Jesus, growing in Christ's likeness as well. I will continue to rely on the Spirit to engage those who are far from Jesus, but who are close to me. It's Him I will proclaim, trusting that He will draw them to Himself and that He will finish what He started in us. It's all for His glory. Amen.
Thank you for joining for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child the repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. We'd love to connect with you, so we invite you to reach out to us at summitupstate.org.